in John chapter 3, just, you know, some things in the Bible, they jump out at you. Whoa! They just jump off the page. And that's happened to me for years, where things would just jump off the page. See, when I first started out, when I first got saved, I was just devouring the Word. Devouring the Word, reading the Word, reading the Word. And, you know, and sometimes it seemed like dry places. But I was digging a well. I was digging the well for God to draw from. You know the story where the first miracle in Cana, where he said, fill those water pots of stone. And then they brung it before the master of the ceremonies. And when they drew it out, it was wine. See, those water pots of stone, folks, is representation of us. See, we need to fill ourselves with this Word of God. And when we fill ourselves with the Word of God, that gives the Holy Spirit something to draw out of us. So we're the well diggers. As we spend time in the book, spend time with the Lord, spend time in prayer, we are erecting the kingdom. We're building the kingdom. See, the kingdom's already inside of us. Everything that we need of the kingdom is inside of us. But now it's our job to take the, and this is probably a construction way to look at it, but we got to take the 2x4s and put them together and stand the walls up and, you know, put the sheathing on it. So we got to work to build this building. Everything that we have, everything that we need, we have inside of us to build this building. It's already inside of us. It's up to us what we're going to do with the materials and the equipment that God's given us as to what our building is going to look like. Now, all the world's looking. All the world's looking, you know. So as you're building your building, I mean, it's not going unnoticed by God or your fellow man. See, the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. You'll know them. How much have they been building? How deep is their well? What can God draw out of them at any time? Be instant in season and out. I think 7 o'clock this morning is kind of instant. Okay. You're going to give the message this morning. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. But I want to get back to these guys just for a minute. Do you have anything else you want to add, dear? All right. Thank
you. So one of the nights Billy Duguid was praying for all of us, he said, if all of us had died at that moment, would we have gone to heaven? And he asked all of us if we were sure, and I wasn't really sure, so he asked us if we were sure, and we weren't. So, like, 5 of us went up, and he prayed for us, and it was good.
God do for you at camp this week?
Well, we did a lot of praise and worship. We would jump up and down and all that. It was really fun. Billy Duguid speak in tongue with us, and that was really touching. We did all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Nice.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's our commercial for teen camp. Thank you. Thank
you. I just wanted to say something. I've had Haley and Jay in my class, my Victory Kids class, for years, and they have a lot of Word in them. They really do. They didn't say a whole lot this morning, but I can guarantee you every time I've had a question, those two would have their hands up. They were prepared to answer. Thank God for that. They're very enthused when they come to my class. So I think they're graduating now. I won't see them in my class anymore, and I'm going to miss them tremendously.
And at camp, these teenagers, they're getting the Word. They're getting what we need. I mean, we should have adult camps. I mean, Then we can have fun and get the word at the same time. We should be having fun anyway, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. that's kind of part of my message this morning, is the joy of the Lord. And if we start right out in Isaiah 53, and this is a familiar scripture to everybody. Pastor preaches on it regularly. And basically, I'm just going to drop down to verse 4 and 5. So surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He has carried our griefs and our sorrows. Everything negative in our life comes from griefs and sorrows. You think joy is not important to the Lord? It is. It is. He doesn't want you to have care. He wants to care for you. He doesn't want you to carry the care. Listen, don't mean we're not going through things. We are going through things, but he's the great I am. He's going right through it with you. If you read Psalms 91, the very end of that psalm says, I will be with you in trouble. I'll be there. I'll be with you. Didn't say you weren't going to have trouble, but he says, I'll be right there with you. You know, let not your heart be troubled. We're going to get through this, whatever it is, you know. So Isaiah 53:4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Boy, they didn't esteem him very highly, did they? Boy, they didn't think too much of him, according to the Word. The Word says that. He says, but God still loved him. He still loved him enough to fulfill the death, burial, and resurrection to bring mankind back to the Father. Even while we were yet sinners, and for God so loved us that his Son gave his life, even though we were yet sinners, he loved us. You know, we didn't esteem him before we got saved. I probably would dare say, before we got saved, we really didn't esteem God, the things of God, the Word of God. Most of us didn't even know what was in the book until we opened it up. I mean, there's a few exceptions where people, like we're raising these kids up in this church, where they'd be brought up in it their whole life. You know, now they're a lot more familiar with it and stuff. But I didn't come into the kingdom until I was 35 years old. So I had a lot of cleaning up to do. A lot of washing of the mind, because I was trained by the world. So I had to be transformed. My mind had to be renewed to how God looks at me. And God's eye is an eye of love. I didn't get that in the world. And I bet for a good part, many of you could say the same thing. I didn't really get love in the world until I came to the Father. And once I started receiving his love, I'm going somewhere with that. but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. All these things had to happen before the last verse could happen. And by his stripes, we are healed. See, you gotta get rid of those transgressions. He took them, but some people, they like to hang on to them. Just get rid of them. Give them to him. Take them to Jesus. You got something that's plaguing you, something that's bothering you? Don't hang on to that. If you messed up this week, don't hang on to that. Take it to Jesus. Say, Lord, I messed that up. He said, yeah, I know it. I saw you. You know? And he says in 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive us and clean us up. Whew, all clean. Billy Duguid. I mean, he's got that skip step. I mean, I've been hanging around him all week, so forgive me if and so anyway, by his, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him. Griefs and sorrows are a negative thing in your life, and they will cause a lot of things to happen that are just not good. You know, I mean, I could say demonic, but I mean, it could cause sickness and disease and, you know, anxiety and stress and fear and a lot of different things comes from griefs and sorrows. But Jesus took care of all that, you know, through his work on the earth, you know, through the scourging, through the beating, through the wounds, through the crown of thorns, you know. It's all symbolic of what was made available to us today. So when you realize that he loves us, Jeremiah 29, please. When you realize that he loves us in Jeremiah 29, 11, Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, and to give you a future and a hope." Boy, I was standing there thinking about these worship songs that we're singing this morning, and how it talks about God's love for us. How much he loves us. We sing a lot of these worship songs, you know. You can just picture God and the angels singing right back to us. How much God loves us. He needs us. He loves us. God ain't doing anything in the earth except he do it through a man or a woman today. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's given all the power and authority in the earth to us. In Ephesians 3:10, that says it's up to us to make known what the many manifolded wisdom of God is to the principalities and the rulers of darkness. See, they forget. They have Alzheimer's. They don't remember the word of God. So it's up to us to make it known to them. Let them know. It is written. It's written. I got the word on that. The word. Jesus used the word. Jesus used the word against the enemy, and that's how we're going to do it. We got to say something. We can't think something. We ain't going to get anything done. We got to open our mouth and say what God says. Say what the word says. So I don't want to get off track. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going somewhere with that. Yeah, praise you, God. Hallelujah. And it's all good. Listen, this is the same message. It's just coming around the mountain a different way. Okay? God is love. And we need to discover God. We need to experience that love for ourselves. I can't experience God's love for you, Steve. You got to experience how much God loves you for yourself. And our job is to present whatever the Holy Ghost gives us, to present the message. Remember, the Bible says that, it's Paul, I believe. Paul planted and Apollos watered. But it was God who gave the increase. He says, neither one, they weren't anything. They were just vessels. They were just doing the work of the Lord. And we just said in John chapter 3, well, I don't even think we went there yet, did we? About John the Baptist. Huh, we didn't make it. I was going there. I didn't make it. Praise the Lord. I'll get back over there. 29:11. So we started out. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now I say, you got to know this. You got to know this because you can't get the next part down until you know it. It says, and then, you will go and pray to me. If you don't know God loves you, why would you pray to him? You don't think he can do anything for you? Why would you commune with him? Why would you even talk with him? You probably wouldn't. So, hope. Hope is a good thing. We're saved by hope. Faith, hope, and love. These three. Now, the greatest is love, but that doesn't discard faith and hope. You know? We're saved by hope. The Bible says we're saved by hope. We put our hope and our trust in God. Our belief system. Amen. So it says, and then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. I will listen to you. You got to come to know him. It says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You know, that rose up big in me this morning during worship as we're all forgetting the weak, forgetting the good, forgetting the bad, forgetting the mistakes, forgetting the victories, and just closing our eyes and focus on him. And we're drawing nigh to him. We're seeking him. And the Bible's clear. It says over in the Gospels as well, ask, and it you shall receive. Knock, and it shall be open. Seek, and you shall find it. You know, it's going to determine. We are the determining factor of what we receive from Jesus. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We are the determining factor of what we receive from Jesus. The Word. The Word. The Word works. The Bible says the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing through all that junk in our lives, sorting it out, burning up the chaff. He says, John the Baptist says, there's one coming after me, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You know, the Holy Ghost is to come upon us, to lead us, to guide us, and for others. But that fire, I've heard it said, that fire is to clean us up. We got stuff that'll get in the way that has to be removed so that he can do what he wants to do in us. And I said I was going over to John chapter 3, so I'm going to go over there. And John in chapter 3, like I said, there's some scriptures that just jump off the page, jump, leap up in your spirit. Wow. And that didn't happen right away. That did not happen right away. I spent time reading the Word. Like I said earlier, I devoured it. I read books on different, you know, authors of the Christian camp. I've got a library, and it's not a huge one. It's probably twice the size of that All Things Are Possible sign. I've read every book in that library, you know, because I devoured it. I was hungry. I needed to know. If you knew my background, I needed a way out, man. I needed a way out from what I was born into. And that's not to blame anybody. We're all born into sin until we come to the knowledge of the saving grace of God. We're all born into it. So I'm just go through things a little harder than others in life, I guess. But it brought me to my knees. It brought me to Christ, so thank God for it. Thank God for all that I went through, because it got me here. You know, I mean, I think about these precious, precious, precious teenagers that are dying from overdoses, and you read about the obituaries and things. They didn't have the chance to get here. They didn't have the chance to come on their knees and cry out to the Lord and change that darkness. They thank God, you know. God, it's the keeping power of God that kept us from that. Because of his love for us. Because of his love for me, I didn't go down that road. God had a call on me. I remember I was 8 years old in an apple tree, and I was singing this crazy little song. I was singing, I'm taking the highway. You know, it didn't make any sense. I'm taking the high. I didn't even know really. You can take the low way, but I'm going to take the highway. And over the years, I figured out what that little song was. I'm taking the highway, the straight and narrow, the one that God sets us on. I didn't know that at 8 years old. But God had his hand on my life all these years. Yeah, he has. I'm not going to get into that right now. There's too many other things I'd like to bring out. Joy. You know, joy is contagious. It is. It's contagious. And the joy is our strength. The joy is our strength. Are my teens still in here? Do we still have this paper, guys? God is on my side. You teens, you guys can quote this with me. God is on my side, for the blood has been applied. All my needs shall be supplied. Nothing shall be denied. So I enter into rest, for I know that I am blessed. For I have passed the test, and I shall receive God's best. Hallelujah. And that's good. That was Billy's, but I'm taking it. I'm claiming it. It became mine after I heard it, and I wrote it down. He had all the kids write that down. We quoted it at camp. I want to go over to 1 John chapter 1. Right at the beginning of the book. Actually, no. Let's go with verse 3 of 1 John, verse 3. Remember, I just said that Paul planted, Apollo watered, but God gave the increase. Okay? I like this. This is another piece of the Bible that leaped in my spirit. And it made me realize how much we need one another. We do. We need one another. I think more than we even realize, more than I realize, I need every one of you. It says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. Remember I said we were digging the well? Seemed like we were going through some dry times, man. We're sweating. Is there water down there? We're digging that well. And sometimes, it might seem like you're just toiling a little bit. You know, just you're kind of drudging through it. But I'm telling you, standing here in front of you, that is not in vain. It is not wasted time. If you'll spend time in the Word, you are creating the kingdom. You are building the kingdom for God to draw from, to pull on, to go out and messenger and minister to others. Because the things that we've known and the things that we've heard and the things that we've seen, those are the things that God has revealed to us. It's not because we read the book. I know people that read the book and they didn't get a thing out of it. It didn't help them a bit in life. Maybe their heart wasn't right. I'm not exactly sure why some people don't get anything out of it. Your heart's got to be right. Says the things which we... I'm trying to speak on joy here. We're going to get there. Hallelujah. Anyway. Oh, glory to God! We're going to get over there. We're going to get over there. Just bear with me. Just give me a few more minutes. Give me a few more minutes and we're going to be there. Oh, glory to God. The things which we've heard, the things we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. We need you. We can't fellowship with the world. We can't fellowship with them. They don't understand us. The Bible says that the things of God are foolishness unto them. He says we're peculiar people. But you know what? I like peculiar people. I do. I like peculiar people. My brothers in Christ, my sisters in the Lord. Man, there's safety. You know, the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And those who run unto it are safe. S-A-V-E. Safe. You know, he's talking to the brethren. He's talking to his church family there. He says, that world out there beat you up. It'll beat you up. You better get close to the tower. You better get close to him. He's your defense system. He's the one who keeps the enemy at bay. Ah, that's my girl. Get your hands off her. You. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know, Holy Ghost just said you. Hallelujah. Anyway, so finishing up that scripture. So that you also may have fellowship with us. Well, guess what? We're already having fellowship. And we're inviting you into it. Say, come on. Come on. Come on, fellowship with us. Come on, fellowship with us. Come on. Come on in. Have fellowship with us. Listen, it's not about competition, folks. I don't want to compete with anybody in here. I don't want to challenge you or be challenged. You know, I just want the love of God to ooze out of me. Because that's the only life-changing thing that matters in life, is his love. And when you come to really know and experience his love, then you will go and pray to me and seek me with all your heart and find me. But you got to know about his love. And this is really all it is. We are declaring to you the love of God that we've experienced in our lives by spending time praying and communing and walking with him. And we're just sharing that with you so that we can have fellowship. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And the reason for all this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The reason for all this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The reason for all this is these things we write to you that your joy may be full. You need to be joyful. That's where your strength, that's where you beat up on the kingdom of darkness. Ha, 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 ha. You got joy. You got a little skip in your step. You got a little confidence in who your daddy is. And you know that he's watching over you and he's looking out for you. Glory to God. Because he loves you that much. He loves you that much. He loves me that much. Boy, and I'm telling you, man, he loves me that much. But I'm telling you, boy, oh boy, for me to receive that love, I had to make some adjustments up here. Man, he loves me that. How can he love me that much? But I'm telling you, he does. He does. Get yourself out of the way and let him love you. He loves us all. If he can love me, folks, I'm telling you, oh, man, I might be standing up in front of this pulpit today because Pastor asked me to, but I'm not perfect. You know, I'm striving. I'm aiming for the bullseye. Paul says, I haven't arrived, but I'm pressing forward to the mark of his high calling. I'm pressing to be just like him. I'm pressing to walk in what he walked in. I'm pressing in to have compassion for others. You know, and sometimes you think, how much compassion do I really have for others? Get in the book. The disciples asked Jesus one time. They said, Lord, what must we do that we be doing the same works that you do? And his response was so simple. Believe. He said, believe. You'll already be doing them. Believe. It'll be who you are. When you believe, it's who you are. You'll already be doing them. It's who you are. When you believe, it's who you are. Believe. Hallelujah. Joy. Joy. And the reason that I believe the Holy Ghost wanted me to talk about joy this morning is because where we started in Isaiah, griefs and sorrows. He took our griefs and our sorrows. Joy is our strength. Sometimes we get to say, I don't care. I don't care. God cares for me. Why should I care? Why should I carry that care when God said, I care for you? He said, Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened down. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's trust in your daddy. Trust in your father. But guess what? You can't trust him if you don't know he loves you. You got to know how much he loves us, folks. Love of God. The love of God. Isaiah 12:3. Isaiah 12 and verse 3. I hear pages turning, mostly my own. I'm getting there. praise the Lord. Isaiah 12:3. There we go. In Isaiah 12 and verse 3. Says, therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Whoa. Where'd them wells come from? We've been digging them. We've been spending time with Daddy in the Word. Like I said, there may be times when you're reading the Word and you might feel like, I'm just doing my duty. Well, you are, because the Bible says study the Word to show yourself approved. You got to study the Word to show yourself what's in the book. You got to study it. You know, it's like in school. You want to pass the test in school? You got to study. I mean, you don't want to be a cheater. I never wanted to cheat. I didn't want to look at someone else's answers. I wanted to know I could do it myself. Cheating ain't going to get you nowhere. And you know what? At this, you can't cheat. That's how God set it up. You can't cheat on this one. You can't do it. We all come through the same way. We got to spend time with him. Praise the Lord. All right. So, we, with joy. I think joy is not important to the Lord. With joy, we draw from the water. From the wells of salvation. Praise the Lord. John 15 and verse 11. Okay. John 15 and verse 11. I like this. You did not choose me. This is in red. This is the Word of God. This is Jesus, the Word. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. I'm going to come back to that. Hold your place there. Let's go over 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting right out in verse 1. I'm just going to read through this quickly, and then I'll probably touch on it a little bit. But it says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. You received, and you stand. By which also you are saved. Because you receive this gospel, you stand, you receive, you're saved. And if you hold fast, oh, wait a minute. This gets down to our part. We got to do something. If you hold fast that word, this word, if you hold fast this word, that word, it was this word, that's the word they were preaching. They were preaching this word. This is the word that they were preaching. When it says that word, it was this word that they were preaching. Okay? So if you hold fast that word, which I preached to you, there it is, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Everything we need, Christ came to the earth, made it available, and finished it. I said a couple of weeks ago that when he died, that veil was rent from top to bottom, split in two. No, the glory of God was in the Ark of the Covenant, and it was hidden behind the veil. And the two cherubim stood over it, watching over it. But when he died on the cross, it said that veil was rent. It was torn from top to bottom. And now the glory of God is unveiled. It's unveiled. It's unveiled. It's unveiled. You seek it. You ask. You desire. It's unveiled. The only thing it takes to see it is a want to. You gotta have a want to. I wanna know it. I wanna see it. Jesus. My. Oh, Father. I'm going to go back to John 15:11, because that's where I was. Okay. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you. Listen, I'm not doing the talking. You know, I'm anointed of the Holy Ghost. It's just as Jesus himself is up here talking to you today. And I'm not boasting, patting myself on the back. I'm just telling you how it is. This is the word of God. It's ain't my word. This is his word. And he's anointing me to be up here. Otherwise, Pastor John wouldn't have even considered me to be up here. So, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. You know, God doesn't want the church all walking around all beat up and decrepit and, come to my service and come sit with my God. You know, he loves us all, and, you know, and you're just all broken down and you're not received. And, you know, and basically more than that, I probably shouldn't even said it that way. But more than that is what is in your container. What are you carrying? The Bible says that it's treasure in earthen vessels. It don't really matter what you look like. I'm sorry I said it that way. What's inside of us? What are we carrying? What has God deposited in our spirits? What impartations have we received? Because you know what? Those impartations are not for you. They're for your brothers and sisters. The ones that don't even know yet. The ones that aren't even filling up these chairs yet. That's who it's for. The theme of camp was beyond the walls. Beyond the walls. Equipping the people to go and preach the gospel. Not the Bible. That Bible's got some bad news in it, folks. We weren't commanded to go and preach bad news. We were commanded to go and preach the gospel, which is good news. We tell them Jesus loves them. Jesus died for your sin. He made a way for you to escape the snares and the traps of the enemy. Come on in. Come on in. He says, come on in. The water's fine. Come on in. That's what he wants to get the message out. Well, that's just a little bit, but you know what? Some people need to see the peculiar treasures of God in action, because if they just see the world, it ain't going to influence them. They got to see the demonstration and the power of the Holy Ghost. Someone anointed by God to deliver the message to say, hey, baby, we got a better way, and we're full of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. He loves us. Joy. We're talking about joy this morning. God wants a happy family. Happy family, happy God. What? Let me see, did I finish this? There's another scripture I want to read. Hang on a minute. Lord, where is that one? Did I write that down? Write that one down. Oh, praise God. Well, anyway, it says, and this is my version now, not the King James, because I'm saying it, but it says it in there. You just got to find it. It says ask. It says ask in my name that you might receive, that your joy might be full. Ask him. God is all about blessing his kids. And that's all of you. Me, all of you. We're his family. And all this happened because God wanted a family. All this happened because God wanted a family. Didn't take God by surprise that Eve was going to take a bite out of that apple. No. Nope, he wanted a family. But he wanted a family to know him. He wanted a family that knew how much he loved them.